Well, my name is Jess. I am the associate pastor here, and I have the privilege of speaking this morning. Behind me on the screen here is the word harvest. Every year at Inglewood, we have a word for the year, and this year, it's harvest. Last year was capacity. God taught us in amazing ways, and he grew us. He grew our church, and he brought many of you actually here for the first time. He brought so many people to know Jesus, which was amazing. But this year, our word is harvest. So this morning I want to talk about what does harvest mean for us? What does it mean for us? What it means for us is that we believe God wants there to be a harvest in your life. God wants there to be a harvest in your life. Whether you're here for the first time today, you're kind of checking out church, or whether you have been here for a while and you're kind of invested in the church, what does that mean for us? That God wants there to be a harvest in your life. God has put us here for a reason. He's brought us here this morning for a reason. And I believe that he's got something that he's going to say to you today. So why don't we pray? Father, we are so grateful to worship you. We are so grateful, God, to come into this place. Father, I pray that as we listen to your word this morning, that you would be speaking to us. Father God, show us the harvest that you want to happen in our lives. In your name, amen. So God wants there to be a harvest in your life. The Bible tells us that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. And he sent his son so that we may have life and that we may have it to the full. What does this mean for us? Well, I wonder what you think of when you think of the word harvest. Perhaps you think of a farmer, the obvious. You think of them getting up at 3 a.m. and working all day in the fields to harvest the crops that they've spent months and months planting and growing and watering and waiting for the right time to go and get the harvest. And that's the thing, is they have to wait. Harvest is at a specific time of the year. They've gone out, they've toiled the ground, they've worked it, they've waited for stuff to happen and things to grow. Perhaps you think of this beautiful greenery behind me. A few months ago, my husband and I were driving down south, and we drove past an avocado farm. It's like bliss for hipsters, right? Avocados are delicious. Anyone? Anyone love a bit of smashed avo in the morning? And it was just amazing to see this avocado farm. I'd never seen one before. And it was beautiful and green, unlike it is in Perth. And there's these beautiful, massive trees that were producing this harvest of avocados. And you could see that they were harvesting them. They were driving down the rows of the trees in their little 4x4 things with their trailers and picking the avocados off the trees. And I bought one, of course. It was huge. And I ate the whole thing. And it was delicious. But perhaps that's what you think of. The thing is that those trees couldn't be harvested until they had matured, until they'd got to probably much higher than I can reach, so that they can produce a harvest of avocados. There's nothing worse than when you buy an avocado from the shop and you have to wait for 3 days for it to be ripe. See, they go and they wait for these avocados to be ripe. So they pick them, go and sell them. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us? Psalm 107, verse 35 to 38. But he also turns deserts into pools of water, the dry land into springs of water. He brings the hungry to settle there and to build their cities. They sow their fields, plant their vineyards, and harvest their bumper crops. How he blesses them. They raise large families there and their herds of livestock increase. So what does harvest mean? Harvest means provision. The Bible tells us that God is the Lord of the harvest. He is the one who's in control of the harvest. And he provides for us in every way. He turns deserts into pools of water, the dry lands of our hearts into springs of water. And this is what he wants to do in your life, in all of our lives sitting here, but in fact, actually in your life. So what does this mean? God wants this joy, this provision, this harvest to come into our lives. But I think that there can be no doubt in any of our minds that there's evil in the world, that bad things happen to us, that things happen that are out of our control, that life isn't fair, that life throws you curveballs. There are awful things that happen to us and in our worlds. You know, we get far better than we deserve sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we get far worse than we deserve. Life isn't fair. It plainly sucks sometimes, actually. Perhaps this is what your week has looked like. And it can be hard for us to hear that God wants there to be a harvest in your life when life is so unfair, when things do not go to plan, when things feel like they're crushing in around you. It can be so hard for us to hold on to the promise of harvest when we are in the middle of the pit. As Wesley says to Buttercup in The Princess Bride, life is pain, princess, and anyone who tells you otherwise is selling something. Life is pain. There is pain in this world. There is pain in our lives. We feel it every day. And this pain is actually made all the more difficult by the fact that our society, this world we live in, is wired towards distraction. It's wired towards distraction. Everything that comes out, every new app that is made for your phone, every game that is made is there so that it can distract you from what's really going on. It is wired towards distraction. Have you turned on the screen time report on your iPhone? It's alarming. I don't want to share with you what mine was this morning. We spend so much time on Netflix, watching Netflix. We spend so much time on things that try to distract us. And they're actually a protective mechanism. This distraction that our world is wired for is a protective mechanism. See, what it does is it tries to protect us from pain and wrap us in bubble wrap so tight so that we never have to actually feel the pain that is underneath. We never have to actually deal with the fact that life is pain and that anyone who tells us otherwise is selling something. When I was going through a particularly painful time in my life, dealing with loss, one of the things I discovered is actually when you're in that space, the only thing you want to do is run towards distraction. Your life becomes, at least for a time, about distracting you from it. Everything that you do, you pull it in and you wrap yourself tight in bubble wrap of distraction, so that you don't have to actually feel the pain. And you know, it works for a time. It does. But then one day, it doesn't. It doesn't. John 16:33 says this: I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. This is Jesus talking. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. I love it that Jesus just says it like it is, doesn't he? He just says, here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. Life's going to suck. You're on earth. This is a byproduct of living on this earth, that you will have many trials and many sorrows. But, take heart, he says, because I have overcome the world. He doesn't just say that we'll have many trials and sorrows and leave us there. He's like, cool, see you later. No, he says, But take heart, because I have overcome the world. You know, this, you know what this means for us is that even though life is painful and we go through so many things in our lives, this gives us hope. This gives us hope that in the middle of the pain, God's going to bring the harvest. That in the middle of the pain, he says, but, take heart. Take heart. And God presents us every day with opportunities in our lives, in our everyday, to plant the seeds of harvest in our lives. He presents us with opportunities even in the midst of our pain, even in the midst of deep pain, to plant the seed that will see the harvest that he wants in our lives to come about. It might be a choice to read your Bible instead of binging your favorite Netflix show. It might be an opportunity to engage with your neighbor when you're bringing the bins in and talk to them about Jesus. It might be an opportunity to help someone when you're getting the groceries. Whatever it is, God provides little opportunities, little God whispers throughout our lives for us to plant the seeds of harvest and for us to grow into who he is calling us to be. And oftentimes it's actually when we're in the most amount of pain. It's when we feel like we're at the bottom of the pit that God lifts our eyes and he provides us with one little opportunity to see and to plant the seed of harvest in our lives when we most don't want to and when we most feel like we can't be used by God. Now, I go to the chiropractor and I started going again a couple of months ago, I think. And I walk into the chiropractor and I went into the treatment room and the guy asks me, "What do you do?" This can be a very interesting conversation sometimes. Sometimes the conversation just kind of halts after that. But I told him what I do. I said I'm a pastor at a church and I speak sometimes. And he said, "Oh, cool. My wife's a Christian. We go to such and such a church, and, well, sometimes I go with her. She goes to this church. But my wife is a Christian." And I was like, "Okay, cool." Well, we chatted, and we kept talking about what it is that I do. And every time I go back, he keeps asking me, "What did I do on the weekend? And have I read the good book lately?" And all these kinds of things. But, you know, the thing is that I actually hate going to the chiropractor. It hurts. They crack literally everything. They crack your toes. I'm not okay with that. It's really painful. But I keep seeing this one guy, which is hilarious because there's about 6 chiropractors in this one place. And I keep, every time I go, do you know they make you go back to the chiropractor like every day for like a month at the start? It's really painful. But I keep seeing this same guy. So next time he asks me what I did on the weekend, I'm going to tell him I used him as a sermon illustration. It's going to go down well. But what's happening there is God is providing a space for me to plant a seed. I don't want to be there. The last thing I want to do is engage with someone while they're cracking literally everything in my body because it's painful. But God provides this opportunity for me to talk to this guy and to plant this seed, and I don't know if it's going to grow. I don't know what his story is like. He seems very curious. It's very interesting to me that he said, "My wife is a Christian," but he's not. But we talk about theology. We talk about all these theologians that he tells me about that I've never heard of. But he's curious, which is fantastic. And God provides this opportunity for me to sow into him and to plant a seed in my life. See, God provides opportunities for each of us in our everyday to plant that seed. To plant the seed so that he can grow us into who he wants us to be. And I don't know what your harvest is going to look like. Your harvest is going to look different to the persons next to you. I don't know what that's going to mean. But every day, God provides an opportunity for you to sow into that, for you to choose to sow into that. And that's the thing, is that I could actually choose in that moment to disengage, couldn't I? I could just lie there and be like, yep, cool, good. Or I could choose to share myself and share who I am and what I'm about. And maybe it's going to make a difference in his life. I don't know. I pray that it does. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. I love that Steve talked about the Israelites this morning who are in captivity. And this is what comes after they get out of captivity. So they've been in captivity for so long. They've been working in Egypt. They've been struggling through big time. And they call on God, and God takes them out. He takes them into their promised land. They planted in tears, let me tell you that much. They planted for years in tears, and they toiled the ground, and it was hard. But when they got out, when God finally took them into their promised land, they harvested with shouts of joy. And you see, harvest actually has two purposes in our lives. Number one, it provides for us. It meets our needs. It meets the needs that we have. We know that the Bible tells us that God will provide for us in every way that we need. And the second thing it does is it blesses others. How will you know your harvest? Well, you'll know that it meets your needs and that God is doing it so that you can bless other people, so that you can bless those around you. You have a choice when those moments come, whether to engage with it or whether to walk away. But God wants there to be a harvest in your life. So how are we going to plant the seeds? How are we going to do that? And what's going to prevent the harvest in your life? It's all well and good for me to stand up here and tell you that God wants this amazing thing to happen in your life. He wants to provide for you, and he wants joy and freedom and growth and harvest in your life. But life is pain. So what's going to prevent the harvest? Is it that pain? Is it the pain that we all feel? I think if we all bundled up the pain that we have felt in our lives right now, we could bring this building down with the agony that we've all felt. And there are things that have happened in your life and in many of our lives here today that I can only begin to understand. This is life. We lose loved ones. We lose friends. It's tough. Things happen that are completely outside of our control. But is that going to stop you from your harvest? See, this is the thing about pain, is that it sucks us down into this vortex, this pain vortex that keeps spiraling and spiraling and spiraling down and pulling us down to the very bottom. It's this vortex of sadness and of bitterness, of anger, of depression. And it pulls us down and it holds us in tight, much like the bubble wrap, but not so cushy. It holds us in tight, and we're surrounded by these thoughts and these awful feelings just swirling and swirling and swirling and swirling around in our minds and in our lives. This is what it does to us. It pulls us down, and it pushes us into distraction. It pushes us into this false sense of security that I've dealt with that because I've been distracting myself this whole time, that I've actually dealt with it. This is what distraction does. It puts its arm around us and kind of tries to guide us around the pain. It's like, it's going to be okay. I'm just going to guide you over this side. This is what it does. But your harvest is on the other side of your pain. Your harvest is on the other side of your pain. Whereas distraction and protection from all this pain that we feel would try to take us around it. We're not going to get to the harvest that way. Your harvest is on the other side of your pain. It is through the pain. See, distraction, it stunts growth. It stunts the growth that God wants in your life, but pain produces growth. Pain is the producer of growth. And your harvest is actually on the other side of your pain. It is through the pain. Even when the pain feels like it's coming at you as much as possible and you can't even push forward and it feels like it's one step forward, 10 steps back, your harvest is on the other side of it. It's through the pain. It's actually choosing to engage with the pain. And I've known pain. I know what deep, lasting pain feels like. I know that it feels like when you step one step forward, you're blown all the way back over there. But the point is that you took the step. The point is that you took the step into the pain. Into so that you could go through the pain to the harvest that is on the other side. To the harvest that God wants to bring into your life. Hebrews 11, verse 1 to 2. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. The reality. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. So this is what planting the seed of harvest means. It's faith. It's faith. The Bible tells us that all we need is a mustard seed of faith and we can move mountains. We can move the mountains with just that one little seed. And what if we planted that seed? What if we planted that seed of faith so that we could see the harvest? God provides us with those opportunities. And planting the seed is choosing to choose faith. It's choosing to engage with the pain that we feel. This is the reality because faith, whereas pain would actually try and drag us down, faith lifts our eyes. Faith lifts our eyes onto the harvest that God wants for us. But what if you never see the harvest? What if you feel like you're stuck in the pain vortex and you've been there for a long time? A long time. What if you feel like you're never going to see the harvest? What if you feel like God's done with you and God's plans are done because you've been stuck so long in the pain of depression, of loss of hope? What if you never see it? Yeah. It can feel like that. It can feel like you're never going to get the answer that you want. You're never going to get the freedom that you want from the pain that you feel. It can feel like God's not going to deliver you from the awful feelings that you feel, from the awful circumstances you find yourself in. When you're stuck at the bottom, it's just trying to drag you down. So what if we never see the harvest? Well, yes. But what if we do? What if you do? What if in the bottom of the vortex, at the very lowest of the low, in the midst of the pain, what if you chose to lift your eyes just a little bit? Just a little bit. That's all it takes. All it takes is one little seed. Is one little seed so that we can see through our pain and into the harvest, and it might be very murky. It might just look like a blurry little shape over there, but we can see it. Just the tiniest bit. I heard a thing recently where I think you can survive without water for 3 days and food without food for 3 months, but anyone who doesn't have hope doesn't survive. Hope is the thing. Faith is the thing that will get us through, that will get us through the pain and into the harvest that God wants for us in our lives. So what is your harvest? I said earlier that your harvest is going to look different to the person next to you. It's going to look different. What is it that God wants to happen in your lives? Perhaps you know, or perhaps you have a rough idea. But what is it that God wants to happen in your life? I know this, because I don't know what the harvest will be, but I do know this. That God wants you to grow. He wants you to have joy, to experience joy beyond anything you've ever experienced. And he wants you to be in him, to grow in him. This is what God is calling us to this year, as a church and as individuals. He's calling us to growth. He's calling us to plant the seeds of harvest in our everyday so that we can see the growth in our lives. I think someone this morning needs to hear that you might be feeling like you are in the very midst of the storm, in the middle of the vortex, and it's sucking you down, and you don't know how to get out. The world is not better off without you. The world is better with you in it. The world is better with you here this morning, and you have come here today for a reason. You are sitting here this morning for a reason, because God wants to speak to you and wants to take you this morning just one step closer to seeing the harvest that he wants in your life. I'm going to invite the band to come up this morning. I believe God is calling each of us today, right now, to plant a seed. To plant one little seed. Maybe it's a promise you need to make to yourself. Maybe it's a promise to engage more with God. Whatever it is, God is calling you this morning to plant one little seed. And it's by planting that one seed today that we start off by lifting our eyes towards what he is calling us to. Let's pray. God, thank you for the harvest that you want to happen in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, that you are about joy, that you are about growth, that you are about freedom, that this is what you want for us in our lives, Father. And we take hold of that today. We recognize it, Father. And we say thank you. We say thank you for your kindness to us, for your graciousness to us. And God, we choose to plant a seed right now. To plant a seed of faith. To plant a seed knowing that the promise of harvest is coming. Whatever that is in your life, I invite you now to just bring it before God. Plant that seed. Say, God, I'm in this. I want the harvest in my life. God, would you reveal to us what that step is, what that seed that you want us to plant today is? And I just want to pray for those of you who are in the middle of deep and lasting pain. God, I pray for the courage, for those of us who are stuck in the pain vortex, God, for the courage to lift our eyes just a little bit, to lift our eyes and see just that little bit of harvest, God. We choose this morning to believe that, even though it's really hard. We choose this morning to believe, God, that you want the harvest in our lives, that you want this to happen for us. And I pray, Father, for that pain that we all feel. God, not that you would take us out of it. God, that you would give us the courage to go through it. You would give us the impetus to keep pushing through so that we can see what's on the other side. And God, you are the Lord of the harvest. You bring the harvest in our lives, and you bring joy and freedom, Father. And we praise you for that. Give us the strength, the courage to keep pushing through, to know that, but I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus, for that promise in our lives. You have overcome. Amen.